If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open them to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. We've talked about this season of the year and how we have an unusually high demand on our church pantry, and we're preparing to meet that need with the Pack the Pantry coming up on the 17th. But I think we also realize that this is a very difficult time of the year as we come into Thanksgiving and the Christmas holidays, because it is not always a joyful season. There are those within this church family who have lost loved ones, and it is a struggle to get through the holidays. It's a very hard time of year, and a time of year when it can be very lonely and very depressing. Several years ago, in fact, more than several years ago, a long time ago, there was this singing group that you guys may not have ever heard of called the Beatles. And I love the Beatles. And they had a song entitled Eleanor Rigby. And it was a haunting song about loneliness. And it told the story of a spinster, a lady who was waiting for happiness, and her lonely life. And I want to just share the lyrics of this, because the lyrics of that song are descriptive of a lot of people right here in our society. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in a church where a wedding has been, lives in a dream, waits at a window, wearing a face that she keeps in a jar by the door. And who is it for? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear, no one comes near. Look at him working, darning the socks in the night when nobody's there. What does he care? Eleanor Rigby died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came. Father Mackenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave, no one was saved. All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Well, what a sad song. And they weren't the first to write about loneliness. Samuel Taylor Coleridge, in his Rime of the Ancient Mariner, that classic epic poem, wrote, "Alone, alone, all alone, alone on a wide, wide sea, and never a saint took pity on my soul in agony." I don't have to tell you that loneliness is a serious thing. And the world is filled with lonely people, and some of you know all too well that loneliness of the soul. Here in the 102nd Psalm, we have words of loneliness penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. The ironic thing is all we have is this little heading, and we don't even know who wrote these tragic words. My heading says, "A Prayer of an Afflicted Man When He Is Faint and Pours Out His Lament Before the Lord." So some nameless individual wrote these words some 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. And I want to read them again. Verse 1, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. Because of my loud groaning, I am reduced to skin and bones. I'm like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on a roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse." And on he goes. What a sad state. What a sad prayer to be offering, a plea before God. Loneliness is described as that feeling of isolation, even when you're in a crowd. A feeling of being unwanted, unneeded, having nothing to live for, feeling as though nobody really cares, and it saps your strength and it robs the individual of hope. Now, let me be real clear. We're not talking about just solitude. Solitude's not a bad thing. Loneliness can be a very bad thing. Solitude is something we all need. Jesus modeled healthy solitude in Matthew 14. After he fed the 5,000, he was exhausted. He'd been caring for the people. It says he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And we all need that. So there are times when being alone is a positive thing, a soul-nourishing, helpful thing. And if we don't come apart to pray like that, we're likely to come apart. But this thing we're talking about tonight, it is something that those who lose close loved ones deal with. Widows, widowers deal with this. But it's not just those people. I love presidential biographies, and I've read the life story of a number of the United States presidents, and it is a recurring theme among the presidents of these United States that they experience terrible loneliness. And I think that often goes with leadership at whatever level. Many leaders are very lonely in the positions they occupy. Loneliness can occur in a crowd. Thoreau said, a city is a place where people are lonely together. And King David experienced loneliness. In the 25th Psalm, that's that familiar psalm that says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Remember not the sins of my youth. And we sing that song. Later in that same psalm, verse 16, he says, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. So it's a common thread. And the worst part of loneliness is what it does to people. It is the root cause of much of the alcoholism and drug use in our nation. It is why some people can't sleep. Here we just read in the 102nd Psalm, this unknown man said, I lie awake at night. It's why some people sleep too much because of the depression that goes with loneliness. It's why some people don't eat right. He mentions in this psalm, I've lost my appetite. I don't eat enough food. And it's why some people overeat, because they use food as a substitute. Our Creator knew what He was talking about when He said, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, enough of this depressing stuff, because this is pretty depressing now. I've got everyone sufficiently depressed. We're going to move the other direction for a little while. There is a tragedy in loneliness, but there's also a cure for loneliness. And Jesus Christ came into this world to bring good news. And so even in this area where struggles take place, there is definitely good news, and there's a good word from God, and I want us to look at that for the remainder of our time. God has not called us, any of us, to a life of loneliness. God does not leave us in our despair. God's Word provides the answer to all of life's ills, whatever they are, including loneliness. And so here it is, and I'll give it to you in one word. There is a one-word answer from God for loneliness. Some of you already know what it is. It's a He. And His name is Jesus. Jesus is the answer to loneliness. Now, you remember old Naaman, and he was told to go down and just dip three times dip seven times in the Jordan River. And he said, it's just too simple. It can't be that easy. And some people say, well, yeah, that's easy for you to say. Jesus is the answer. But that's not really going to solve my problem of loneliness. Let me tell you, Jesus is the answer to loneliness. And let me tell you why. Because Jesus alone meets the basic need of the human soul. He's the only one that can do that. There are three basic psychological and spiritual needs which must be met in every human on this planet in order for life to have meaning. And these are what they are. Someone to share love with. That's first. Someone to share love with, to love and to be loved. Someone who can understand us. We all need to be understood. And then thirdly, the need to feel useful. Those are three fundamental, basic human needs. And only Jesus can meet these human needs at all three of these levels. Some folks think, you know, if I could just get married, then I wouldn't be lonely anymore. Let me tell you, some of the loneliest people I've ever known are married people. That's not a cure-all. Even if you have a great marriage, your partner was never designed to meet your deepest need in life. Only Jesus can meet that need. I don't care how great your wife is or your husband is, they can't meet the need that Jesus alone can meet. No, the cure for loneliness all centers around Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you and He wants your love in return. And if we could just understand how much we each individually are loved by Jesus, that would provide so much comfort and so much blessing in our lives. At times of loneliness and despair in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, to know and feel the love of God through Jesus Christ, to feel His loving arms wrapped around us. One exercise that I have done for years, when I go to bed, if I can't sleep, sometimes I'll just, in my mind, sing that song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. And I just imagine Jesus just holding me tight and close. And that is such a comfort, knowing that He loves me and that He's right there with me. We learned as children, many of us, to sing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that is such a great truth to carry with us from the cradle all the way to the grave. And to know and believe and understand the words that we sang tonight, that last song that Brian led for us, where we ask Jesus to, I can't remember how the words go, but they're so beautiful about fold us in your gentle touch. And it's the idea of Jesus caressing us and holding us close. And to know that at this very moment, tonight when you're off, if you're by yourself, at that very moment, Jesus is right beside you. And His presence is there. And He is loving you. And longing for you to understand and know just how much He cares for you. In Revelation 3:20, there's that beautiful verse describing Jesus as standing at the door of our hearts. And it says, Behold, He says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. There's nothing Jesus wants more than to be close to you and for you to feel that closeness and reciprocate the love that He has for you. No, Jesus alone fills the deepest hole in the human spirit, that need to be loved and to love in return. And it's expressed in so many of our songs, not only the songs we've sung tonight. We sing another beautiful song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. And oh, how I love Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul just marveled at that. And as he wrote the book of Romans, it's almost like he just broke into praise as he thought about the love of God expressed through Jesus and how precious that was to him and how inseparable that is from those that belong to him. Listen to the words again in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. He says, No, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I don't care what your troubles are, if they're financial troubles, if they're health troubles, whatever they are, you just remember that nothing can take you away from the loving presence of Jesus Christ. And when the worst happens, when we leave this world, that simply ushers us into His open arms for all of eternity. What a great blessing we have in the love of Jesus. The second thing that Jesus can do for us that no one else can really do is that He perfectly understands you. Did you know there's not a human on this earth that perfectly understands you? I don't care if you've been going to your psychiatrist for 50 years. No one understands you like Jesus understands you. And we all long to be understood, don't we? We want our mates and our friends to understand us, and we want to be able to say things in such a way that they know how we really feel and what's going on. And let me tell you, you'll not find anyone who can do that like Jesus can. David found such comfort in the Lord. He wrote those familiar words, and I don't even have to tell you what chapter of the Bible it comes from, because you know, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me," for You are with me. I mean, he knew that the Lord was right there with him, and he took such great comfort in that. God knows how you feel at your worst moments because He's been there through Jesus. He knows what it feels to be alone. He knows what it's like to be a man of sorrows. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what pain is like. He knows what it's like to face death and all these things. He knows and He understands. There's nothing in life that you'll ever experience that Jesus cannot relate to intimately and personally. In Isaiah 53, we just studied that. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. Hebrews 4, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin." When you have been tempted by Satan, and when you have failed, and when you feel so bad about yourself, you can know that Jesus Christ was also tempted like you've been. Yet He didn't take the bait. He didn't take the hook. He sidestepped Satan. But He knows what it's like. He knows how hard it is. He knows the struggles. And He can identify to that extent with us in our struggles. He understands us and He offers us His friendship. In John 15:15, that's one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, Jesus says to His followers, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends." And to know that Jesus offers His own friendship to us is something. Jesus is a friend that truly sticks closer than a brother. We sing that beautiful song, "Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus." No, not one. No, not one. And let me tell you the third thing. Jesus needs you. We all need to be useful. And the Lord needs us to accomplish His will on this earth. When Jesus ascended back into heaven, He left the responsibility of the kingdom with the 12. And those first generation Christians took on the commission that would see the gospel spread over the whole earth. And it's the same in every generation. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. We speak for Him. And He makes us useful in the most profound way imaginable. In that beautiful chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that talks about what He's done for us in Christ, it says that He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Folks, you have never been given a task or an honor any greater than the ministry of reconciliation that God has given you. He says He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are the ones who represent the King to a lost and dying world. And by your words and by your actions, you're reflecting Him. And He counts on you to do that. I can't think of any greater responsibility. Now, let me tell you, if you are lonely, Jesus is the answer. A father to the fatherless is the way God's described in the 68th Psalm. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. Boy, isn't it good? Isn't it so good to have Jesus as our brother, as our friend? Isn't it good to be part of a family? And we're all connected by that common bond of Jesus Christ. You know, church is a wonderful thing. And Jesus built the church for the lonely. And He's there for all who struggle in this area. Pray over these next weeks as a congregation. You may be having a joyful reunion, and I am blessed more than most. And we'll gather together, and I'll have my children and my grandchildren and my mother, and Vicki and I will be blessed in so many ways. But know, for every family that's blessed in this way, that there are those who are struggling, and I hope we can reach out and be a blessing to the lonely in the way that Jesus always is. Tonight, if you need Him, He wants you. He loves you. He longs to bless you. And if we can, through our prayers or through your response of faith to Jesus, if you need to take that step, we'll help you, we'll assist you. If you need to come, we invite you to do that while we stand and sing.